O most gracious and merciful God, we thank you for these wonderful gifts that were given for your purpose, God, for Second Baptist Church and our community center. God, we thank you. We're asking that you touch every heart that gave today and bless them. And the ones that didn't have to give, bless them that they will be able to give on next time. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, we lift these gifts up to you now in all of the vision for Second Baptist Church and Pastor Jimerson and Sister Jimerson. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. And we call all of these blessings done. In Jesus the Christ's mighty name, amen,
amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Our choir leads us. And then we prepare our hearts for the message for the morning. And the message for the morning will be brief.
For you, Pastor.
I've had heartaches and aches before.
Amen. Amen.
And disappointments by the score. I claim the victory at last.
This soon will pass.
Can I say it again? I've had heartaches like this before, and disappointments by the score. I claim the victory at last. So whether heartaches, your grief and pain, whether the sunshine and the rain, just know it too can last. So whether heartaches, your grief and pain, whether the sunshine and the rain, just know it too can last. Whatever pain you're going through,
this too will pass.
Those torn relationships,
this too will pass.
Those old bills you cannot pay,
this too will pass.
Troubles, trials, and tribulations,
this too will pass.
Heartaches. Loneliness.
This too, ooh, this too will pass.
That old arthritis that pays you a visit sometimes.
This too, ooh, this too will pass.
Don't forget that old backache.
This too, ooh, this too will pass.
All the people of God said amen.
Amen.
Deacon Archie Brown had a litany of things that were past. Not being able to pay the bill will pass. Sickness will pass. Thank you, Sister LaFay Dern, for your ministry to us today through the men's prayer. Lord our God, we thank you for this preaching moment. We ask now for the guidance of your Holy Spirit to fall afresh on us. You are a God that speaks, and you use human agencies to do your bidding. And so we pray now for you to use me as never before. Bless now the preach word. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God who love God said amen. Amen. And those who are not afraid shouted hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, help me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's the highest praise. Our text comes to us today from Paul's letter to the Philippians, to the church at Philippi. Paul has seen some difficult days in the life of the church that he has established in Philippi. He has personally seen some personal experiences because of his faith and because of his faithfulness. You may remember that Paul and Silas were placed in prison in that small hamlet called Philippi. It was there that he had a unique experience through prayer as he talked to God, and God sent an earthquake to come down and to shake the prison. And Paul and Silas did not flee from the prison. They remained there not as prisoners, but as free men of Christ. And the jailer heard them praying, and he was moved by their prayers. But more than that, he was fearful of losing his life, because if the prisoners escaped, it was his responsibility to make sure that the prison was free, was secure, and that no prisoners escaped. And he drew his sword to take his own life, to commit suicide. But Paul speaks out and says to him, "Do yourself no harm. We are all here." Paul writes in this third chapter of the book of Philippians. He began by sharing with them who he is and what he has done, his accomplishments as well as his failures. Listen to what he says. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concession. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained for me, those I count also loss for Christ." And then our text. Brethren, beginning with that 13th verse. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'd like to talk to you just for about 10 minutes. Reverend Jackson has the assignment of touching me on my shoulder after I've been up for 10 minutes when I start preaching. Not now, but this is not a part of my 10 minutes. He has assignment to touch me on my shoulder and to say to me, "Go ahead, Doc. Go ahead and finish it." How many of you have had some failures in life? How many of you? All of us. Kim, it's good to see you. It's good to see you. I reached out but the wrong phone number. It's good to see you, Kim. Thank you for being here. Your son, Brian, will be our guest. He'll be our comedian for our fancy hat luncheon. Thank you. Thank you. You and your husband and your mother for being here. How many of you have failed and repeated that same failure? When I was in high school, I failed one course. You would have failed it too. It's Latin. I had no business being in the Latin class. But there was this pretty young thing. I mean, that was this nice-looking young girl who was taking Latin. And she encouraged me to take the course. Mr. Carson was the teacher. He spoke with an accent. It was difficult for me to understand what he was saying. And he gave pop quizzes. And those pop quizzes made up your grade for the year, for the semester. At the end of the semester, I had failed the course. Not only had I failed the course, but the one that encouraged me to take the course failed the course too. 90% of the people in the course failed. And guess what he said? He said, "I will not have a second semester of Latin. I will continue the first semester. I expect all of you back in the course." I said, I don't think so. That F is still on my transcript. Because I refuse to repeat the failure. Many of us fail and repeat the failure. Some of you know people who have married each other 4 or 5 times. One couple came to me and said, "Reverend, we divorced last year. It was our 3rd divorce. We want to marry a 4th time." I looked at them and I said, "That will cost you $1,000. They said, "We'll find another preacher." It was because the price was high, because I didn't want to do it. And most of you at Second Baptist know that the pastor does not charge for weddings or for funerals. That's incorporated in my salary today. Take it out, and the price goes up. Hallelujah, somebody. When do we fail? When do we repeat our failures? When we fail to follow God's assignment. God has an assignment and a purpose
for every one of us. Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, talks about God's purpose and the purpose for our living for everyone. I don't know what your purpose is, but I do know what my purpose in life is, and that is to serve the true and living God and to proclaim the word of God as God give it to me. Sometimes, in proclaiming the word of God, people do not agree with what is said biblically. But I can only tell you what God says in his word. God has an assignment with your name on it. But he also has a blessing with your name on it. We want the blessing, but we don't want the assignment. Jonah, a prophet, a man of God. God had blessed him and saw in him that he could be a diamond. He could be an angel carrying the message of mercy. Of God's mercy, of God's grace, of God's forgiveness, of God's compassion. He could be a messenger of God. Michelangelo saw a great stone. He looked at that stone and said to himself, "There's an angel in that stone trying to get out." Then he began the process of chiseling to make sure that the world would see the beauty that was in the stone. That's what God does for us. We have in us, God has placed in every one of us, the ability to be an angel of Christ and carrying the word of God. Jonah failed God. He failed the Prince of Peace. He failed the Lamb of God, Christ. Rather than going to Nineveh, that wicked city, to proclaim the word of God, he goes in the opposite direction. He failed to follow his assignment. Boards a ship going away from the presence of God and the mission that God had given him. The ship on the sea, a great storm arose. Jonah was on board, asleep. Can you imagine someone not doing the will of God finding comfort on a cruise? Y'all missed it. Bible says that the storm came and the wind began to blow and the ship began to rock and to reel. The men asked, why? And he found Jonah and asked him theological questions. Who are you? What is your assignment in life? Why are you going? Why are you traveling with us? Guess what? Jonah confessed that he was the reason for the storm. They cast him overboard, and the storm ceased. There's a message there. Sometimes when folks are raising all kinds of trouble, you ought to cast them overboard. Calm the ship. This is a whale of a story. The Bible says that God prepared a big fish. The big fish, Jonah, failing God. We fail God when we fail to follow God's assignment for us. In the belly of the fish, Jonah realized his mistakes. He realized what he had done. And the Bible says that he prayed to God. There's a message here. No matter where you are, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter how you have disappointed God, if you talk to God, God will hear and God will answer your prayer. The Bible says that God caused the big fish to go to the shore, and the old preacher said, puke him out. And then he realized, I can hear Jonah in my sanctified imagination say, Lord, if you get me out of this mess, I won't fail you again. If you just chisel me a little bit more, I won't fail you again. He goes to Nineveh, that wicked city, and preaches. We fail God when we do not fulfill our assignment. Secondly, do not repeat your failure to share your blessings. I don't know many stingy Christians, but I do know some. Matter of fact, when I look at our giving, I ain't calling no names, but I can tell you this. One of our deacons came to me and said, Reverend, I called one of our members and they said they're not giving anything. I said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. They don't give anything. They don't give anything. I said, they'll get sick and they'll go to the doctor. And the doctor give it to the church. Or they'll die and they go to the funeral home. The funeral home give it to the church. God's going to get. You may not give it, but you'll give it to somebody who will give it. Somebody's going to bless God because God has blessed them. You remember that rich young ruler, and I'm almost finished. You remember that rich man that had that planted and his field grew, had a great harvest, and he said to himself, self, look at what we've done. Look at the abundance of crops that we have harvested. He forgot that God sent the rain. He forgot that the grain died and reproduced itself through his death. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll build larger barns to put what God has blessed me in. And while he's thinking about what he's going to do, God speaks to him and God says, thou fool. You're foolish because you are repeating your failures. You have not shared with persons who need. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me drink. I was in prison and you didn't visit me. I was sick and you didn't come to see about me. Lord, when did we see you in such conditions? When you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. I thank God for the community in which I grew up in. We didn't have a lot. We didn't have paved streets. We did not have schools with bathrooms on the inside. We had to go outdoors to the bathroom. I'm talking about in Dallas, Texas, in 1955, 56. The J.P. Starks Elementary School did not have all of the amenities that we have today. But guess what? I don't remember any person of color standing on the streets begging and homeless because family took them in. Y'all missing the point here. Aunt Jane and Uncle John. Uncle John was the worst drunk in the community. But guess what? When my cousin needed something, Uncle John made sure that there was shelter. It ought to be somebody here. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. Somebody here got a drunk in your family. But guess what? Today, San Antonio, the city of San Antonio, has a house, and 35% of the persons that live in that community are persons of color. I never saw in my community a black man or black woman or black boy or black girl begging, standing on the streets, asking for money. Why? Because somebody always prepared a meal and prepared enough that they could share with the neighbor. What about us? We repeat our failures when we do not share. Finally, we repeat our failures when we do not fail or when we do not press for the mark that is in Christ Jesus. Paul shares with them who he is. He shares with them his education. He shares with them his nationality. He shares with them that he has persecuted the church. But he said, since I met Jesus, since Christ has come into my life, and I met him on the Damascus Road, I was going about doing evil, persecuting the church. But there shined a light from heaven, brighter than the noonday sun, knocked me off my beast. And I cried out, my God, my God. Cried out, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you against the church? Why are you against the body of Christ? The Christ who gave his life a ransom for your sins. Why are you fighting the church? Why do you not want the church to succeed as the body of Christ? Paul, realizing that it was the matchless Lamb of God, that it was the Rose of Sharon, that it was the Lily of the Valley, that it was the bright and morning star, that it was Daniel rock hewed out of the mountain, he realized that it was the Christ. And he said, my Lord, my God, my God, my God, what would you have me to do? Paul says, all of my accomplishments, all of my successes, I count them as nothing. He used the word dung. I count it as nothing. Waste. And then Paul says, forgetting, not looking back. All of us who drive have a rear view mirror in our car, on our car. And we look back to see where we've come from. We look back to make sure that we don't turn into a lane that another car is coming. It's all right to look back, but guess what? That's a rear view mirror. That's not the windshield. That's not the front view. The front view is larger than the rear view mirror. I wish I had somebody helping me. When you look back, it's just for a moment to make sure that you're processing God's blessings. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind me. The sin that I've committed. The wrong that I've done. I'm forgetting that, and I'm pressing. I'm putting my attention. I'm being intentional about praising God. I'm moving toward the mark, a higher calling, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm putting my bet on Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, I'm forgetting the mess. What if Reverend Jimerson had stayed on the fact that he failed the course and dropped out of high school for one failure? But can I tell you something? God looks beyond our faults and he sees our needs. He looked beyond Deacon Shelton of that thief on the cross. The record is he was a murderer, insurrectionist. He was a rabble-rouser who disturbed the community. But he was dying. And on the cross, there were three crosses, don't forget that. On the cross, one said, if you be the Christ, come down and save yourself and us too. But thanks be to God, thanks be to God that Jesus Christ chose to die. He would not come down. He stayed on the cross. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that he did not come down. That he hung there on the cross. Hanging on the cross, the thief, the other thief, said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Don't remember my faults. Don't remember my failures. Just remember that I am. I press toward the mark of a higher calling, forgetting, not repeating my failures. I have some failures. I failed in some decisions I made. I failed in relationships. But I got a Savior. I have a Savior who knows my name. Put a price on me. Money, silver, and gold could not pay the price. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. I wish I had time to talk about that blood that flows from the mountain to the valley. I wish I had time to talk about that blood, the blood of Jesus Christ that washes. I feel that hand clap. I feel that tap on my shoulder telling me my time's up. But I got one more minute. And that minute is to tell you, don't repeat your failures. If you have failed in a relationship, don't repeat it. If you failed on a job, don't repeat it. Just say, I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm moving. I'm going higher and higher. I'm climbing Jacob's ladder. And every round goes higher and higher. Is there anybody here that want to press toward the mark of a higher calling by praising God, by refreeing your assignment? For Christ I live. For Christ I die. Whether I live or die, I belong to Christ. I don't know about you. I'm 75 now. Guess what? I don't have many more days to proclaim God's word. I don't have many more days to walk among you. But I want you to remember one thing that Pastor Jimerson said, and that is, I'm forgetting what's behind me. And I'm pressing. Pressing. I'm sending up timber every day, every day, every day. When you hear me praying,
When you see tears in my eyes, I'm pressing toward the mark of the higher calling. In the name of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, God my Father, I say to you, press. Don't let nobody stop you. God's given you an assignment, press. God has blessed you, share it. And then tell the world, Satan, get thee behind me. Get the hell out of my way. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise him in this place. Long as there's breath in my body, I'm going to praise God in this place. You can't stop me from praising God. He's been good to me. When I look back, see how far I've come. My soul shouts hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, deacons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey. 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 He's good. All the time. Door to my Father's house is standing open. We invite you to come.
Time is filled with swift transition.
Say it, Deacon Martin.
Not on earth one move can stand. Build your hopes on the eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hands. Come on, choir. Oh, to God, to God, to his hands, and build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God, unchanging hands. Trust in him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if my earthly friends forsaken, so close, more close to him cling. You've got to hold to God. You've got to hold to God. Then you can feel your hope so things turn on. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Let's go. Hold on to his hand. Hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. And build your hope on things eternal. You've got to hold to God's unchanging hand. And stay. Time is filled with swift transitions. Not on earth one move can stand.
And that you
build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. You've got to hold to his hands, God's unchanging.
God's unchanging hand.
We've got to hold
to his hands.
To his hands.
God's unchanging hand.
We build your hopes Because all things eternal flow to God's unchanging hand.
Just as I am. We're going in just a few minutes. We're going to pray for Jonathan, who will be leaving these United States, going to England to live. And so we're going to pray for safe travel for him, that God would open up a door of employment, a door of better relationship with God and with humankind. And so we're blessed to have Nell Thompson, his mother, his brother, his aunt, his aunts, sharing with us today. And so I ask them to draw closer to him as we grow closer to them in prayer. Lord our God, how thankful we are for Jonathan. We watched him grow up in this church. We watched him complete his high school education and to complete college programs. And now he proclaims that he's ready to press toward a higher mark. We pray that as he presses toward that higher mark, that the name of Jesus would be at the highest of his praise. Bless him now. Order his steps in your word. We pray that when he runs into a problem or situation that he cannot handle, that he would turn to you and say, "You are my rock. You have provided all that I have needed. Do it again. For what you've done before, you can do again." And so, our God, honor his desires. Bring him closer to you, closer to his family, closer to his friends. May all that he see God in him. All that he do, may it be for the will of God and to the will of God and the praise of God. Bless his mother, brothers that he leaves behind. Pray for his grandfather and grandmother, the poor. We pray, our God, your blessings upon Liz. Strengthen her body. The same thing for his grandfather. We claim the victory already. We claim the presence of God. Use him to be an instrument of your peace and of your love. And so we pray you bless him, keep him, make your face to shine upon him. Be gracious unto him. Lift your countenance upon him and give him peace, wholeness, wellness. In the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming. You may return to your seat. Ms. Hudson comes to restore her faith. Her faith in God, her faith in the body of Christ that we call Second Baptist. We pray for you. We've been praying for you over the years. We pray for God's continuing healing in your life. Lord, bless her. We pray for her children and her children's children. We know not what her desires are, but we do know that she come publicly to acknowledge that she needs you. And so we pray that you'll take her and that you mold her and that you make her. Chisel off the rough stones so that she may fit perfectly
in your kingdom of praise. Thank you again. Anoint her afresh for your healing and for your wealth. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We welcome this family, this mother and this son. Name?
Ruby, Mrs. Ruby Satterwhite. She comes wishing to become a member of Second Baptist based on our Christian experience.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Josiah, right? Josiah is already a member of our church. Stand, Josiah. And the Bible says a little child shall lead them. So he leads his mother to Second Baptist. Josiah sang in the choir one time, didn't you, Josiah? Led a song. That was your brother that led the song. At least he gives credit. Thank you, man. We praise God for you. Thank you. Continue to be faithful in your ministries to Christ. Mother Salawite, thank you for your faith. Thank you for coming. We pray for you. The deacons have prayed for you. Immediately after the service, after we have broken bread together, we will spend some time sharing and talking, okay? All right? God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Church, we're ready to go home. We're ready to go. Mr. Clay has set aside the barbecue. It's all barbecue now, except for the links. And we have 180 links. Amen. So y'all start counting. That means you can't have four. Looking at this congregation, you can't have four and expect your brother or sister to have one, okay? So why don't you get one, and then if there's any left after they're gone through, you come back and get your other, okay? All right. Now, there's plenty of ribs. You can have one or two ribs. Plenty of chicken. Maybe 333 pieces of chicken. So you can get two pieces of chicken. Y'all say, you talking like you my daddy. Well, I want to make sure that all the children eat. Amen. Amen. Mr. Clay said to me, we have rolls, but we don't have 300 rolls. He said, Rev, there's not enough rolls for everybody. You know what I told him? I said, man, they don't have no rolls at tailgate parties. They got Miss Beard bread. We got enough bread for everybody. We got not enough rolls. Okay, church, thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing with us in worship today. It's now time for our benediction. Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise this day for what you have done. We pray that now you come and go with us. We remember Carl J.J. Johnson. We pray, our God, for Mrs. Salawite and for her son. We bless your name for Jonathan. We pray, our God, that you will continue to smile on them. Bless now the food that we shall share. May we find joy in it. And then, our God, when we've done all that we can do in this place, we pray that the prepared place that you have prepared for us, that we will walk in it, not looking back, forgetting those things which are behind us, and pressing toward the mark. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen. They went away rejoicing. Bless the food. So tell them the food's already blessed.
Yeah, still somebody giving their pastor's anniversary gift.
Well, hallelujah.
God bless you.
Thank you. Hey, man, how you feel, man? You sure? You sure? I don't want to lose no friend.
No.
All right. Don't hit that good ball too hard no more.